Okay, bismillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd. This is our ninth session, al-juz al-thani, second book. Brothers, really, we start in the class. Really, it's very distracting. Please, whisper to each other if you have to. Otherwise, really, it's not going to work. Please. If you have to talk, just whisper, inshallah. Try to whisper. Because if you don't whisper, then really, you're disturbing everybody who's here for the class. Tayyib. I wish we had another room, so the people who are not here for the class can go in the other room and sit down and have a conversation and socialize. That would be just wonderful. But we don't have another room. Tayyib, today, inshallah, we'd like to proceed with lesson number 5. But before we do lesson number 5, we have two exercises remaining that we did not do in class last week from exercise number 4. So we want to finish those exercises. And after we finish those exercises, then we want to proceed with lesson number 5. Okay, as far as that which remains in lesson number 4, we have two exercises, one of them dealing with li'anna. And the other one dealing with na'am and bala. Okay, as far as li'anna, if somebody can just quickly remind me, what are we talking about with this word li'anna? What are we talking about? What does this mean, first of all? Okay, it means because. Anything else you know about it? What else do we know about li'anna? Is it one of the sisters of what? Of inna? Is it one of the sisters of inna? That's the question. Who can answer it? Is li'anna one of the sisters of inna? Huh? Yes, no. اختلف العلماء. Huh? Yes, you say it is. Who says no? I want to hear who says no. You say no? Okay, tell us what is it then. Anna. Anna is from the akhawatu inna, not li'anna. Anna. Li'anna is composed of two parts. Li, which is lam al-ta'liq, means why something. And anna, which is from the akhawatu inna. Okay? Anna is from akhawatu inna, not li'anna. Alright, no problem. I mean, in terms of how it functions, the function would be the same, okay? Because the ism enna would act according to the rule of the akhawatu enna, right? Okay, but we would distinguish between enna and li'enna. Li'enna. You have to distinguish between them. Jazakallah khair. Alright, it means because, right? Okay, so how does it work? How does it work? What happens? What's the rule? Huh? It's going to be majrur? What's going to be majrur? Ism anna is going to be majrur? No. Anybody say something different? Can it be anything other than majrur? What about marfoon? No. Fine. Anything? Is there any other? That's it? You all agree? The ism anna is majrur?
No, sometimes you had.
Not always? Okay, hold on 1 minute. Help us, somebody. What's the rule for inna? What's the rule for inna? The ism inna and khabru inna. What's the rule for it? Now? Okay, listen. We have a sentence. Jumla ismiya, right? It begins with a mubtada. And then there's a khabar, right? When you use inna, when you introduce inna to this sentence, right? The mubtada becomes ism inna, right? And the khabar becomes what? Khabaru inna. Tayyib. The ism inna, what is its case ending? It's mansoob. It's mansoob. And the khabaru inna is? Huh? Stays the same? Oh, okay. But what was it before? Marfu'an. Okay, so the ism inna is mansoob. And the khabaru inna is marfu'an. The same rule applies to the akhawatu inna. From amongst them is enna. So the ism enna is what? It's mansoob. And the khabaru enna is marfu'un. Okay, it's mansoob and marfu'un. What do we mean by that? Suppose we had, for example, Al-Kitabu, right? Kabirun. Al-Kitabu Kabirun. If you use inna, introduce inna to this sentence, the ism inna, here the mubtada becomes ism inna, right? And it should be what? It should be changed to mansub with fatha. And the khabaru inna is marfu'un, so it remains the same. Okay? So you say, innal kitaba kabirun. So with enna, the same exact rule applies. For inna and enna and the akhawatu inna, the rule is the same. The ism, which was the mubtada, becomes mansoob. And the khabar remains marfu'un. Okay? So this is the rule that we want to know. Li'enna is a combination of li and enna. And enna is from akhawatu. Inna. So the same rule, the mubtada, which becomes the ism of enna, is mansoob, and the khabar is marfu'un. The enna means because, okay? Like for example, a person says, مَا ذَهَبْتُ إِلَى الْمَدْرَسَةِ الْيَوْمَ لِأَنَّنِي غَنِيٌ لأنني غني. I didn't go to school today because I'm rich. I don't need to go to school. I'm rich. The only reason why you don't go to school is because you're sick. Maybe you're rich. Class, rich people don't need to go to school. Okay. The point is, right? We're not concerned about you, married or غني or whatever. I'm just saying that to wake you up because you know we have to wake up sometime when we begin the class. All right. But the point here is that. لِأَنَّ means because. That's what we're really trying to show. That I didn't do something because of something. Or I did something because of something. Okay, you're showing the reason why. Okay, so that's basically really what we were talking about. And there's an exercise for this, so let's look at the exercise, inshallah. Okay, we're looking at next to the last exercise from lesson number 4 on page 29. From lesson number 4, the end of lesson 4 on page 29. And we see there, it says, Ta'ammal ma yali. Okay, what does it say? Li'anna, this word li'anna, it equals what? Two things, li plus anna. And also, we're saying what? Wa anna min akhawatu inna. Anna is from akhawatu inna. Li anna with pronouns, li anna and huwa becomes what? Li annahu. So the dhamir here, which is the dhamir munfasil, huwa, when you use the dhamir muttasil, you change it from huwa to hu. You change it from here to ha. You change it from anta to ka. And so on like this, okay? So li'anna plus huwa equals li'annahu. Li'anna plus here equals li'annaha. Li'anna plus anta equals li'annaka. Alright? So basically what we are looking at here is really just a demonstration of how to use the connected, muttasil, the ma'ir al-muttasila, the connected pronouns. How do you use them? Okay, how do you change from the unconnected, separate, and the munfasil pronouns, how do you change it to the connected pronouns? Okay, that's basically what this is really talking about. It's just showing you to pay attention to how it's used here. Okay, so we have the sentence, Raja'a Hamidun min al-madrasati li'annahu maridun. Huh? Meaning what?
Hamid returned from the school
because he is sick. Naam. Raja'at Aminatu min al-madrasati li'annaha maridatun. What does it mean? Huh? Amina returned from the school because she is sick. Raja'atu min al-madrasati li'annani maridatun. Meaning? I returned from the school because I am sick. Okay, so what's remaining now is na'am and bala. And if somebody could give us an idea, what is the difference between na'am and bala? What is the difference? Well, first, let's just say, what does na'am mean?
Yes.
Means yes, right? So, if somebody said to you, Ama zahabta ila al-masjid al-yawma? Ama zahabta ila al-masjid al-yawma? You can come up here, akhi. Yeah, just come up to the front. Ama zahabta ila al-madrasati al-yawma? If somebody said to you, have you not gone, madrasa I said, or masjid?
Masjid.
Ama zahabta ila al-masjid al-yawma? If somebody said to you, have you not gone to the masjid? Did you not go to the masjid today? How can you answer it? First of all, you can say, Bala zahabtu. If you say Bala, what does that mean? It means that you're affirming that you did go. What if you said Naam? What would be the meaning? You're affirming the negation that they are asking in the question. Did you not go? And you, if you say Naam, you are saying, Naam, ma zahabtu, I did not go. But if you want to say I did go, then you don't say Naam, because Naam, they're saying you did not go, and you're saying Naam, I did not go. But you want to say, Bala, I did go. Rather, I did go. Bala zahabtu ilal masjidi al-yawma. Okay? So, in a question that's in the negative form, if you want to affirm that you did do something, you don't say na'am. Because the question is in negative, saying you didn't do it. And you want to say you did do it. So you don't say na'am, you say bala. If you say na'am in that case, that means you're affirming the negation of that action that is asked about in the question. Okay, so this is something that we don't have this kind of expression in English. So a person has to be careful and think that whenever you are asked a normal question that's not in the negative form, then you will use na'am and la the way you normally speak. You say na'am, yes, I did do such and such and so and so. Adhahabta ila al-masjid al-yawma, did you go? Adhahabta ila al-masjid al-yawma, did you go? Na'am, dhahabtu. They say, amma dhahabta ila al-masjid al-yawma, you say, bala dhahabtu. Huh? In one case you're saying what? Na'am, dhahabtu. In the other case you're saying, bala dhahabtu. Because in one case they're asking you, did you go? You're saying, yes, I went. Other case you're saying, you did not go? You're saying, bala, I did go. Okay, so pay attention to this particular issue, because sometimes, because we don't have this kind of expression in English, we get confused a little bit about it, but it's not really difficult. Yani na'am and la is used as they were used before in a normal question, but when the question is a negative, instead of na'am and la, wa alaykum salam, instead of na'am and la, you have bala and na'am. Bala and na'am. Okay, so let's look at the exercise here. Alright? Exercise number 7. At-tamreen as-sabi. اقرأ المثال ثم أجب عن الأسئلة الآتية بنعم أو بلا. اقرأ المثال. What does that mean? Read the what? The example. ثم أجب عن الأسئلة الآتية. Then what? Answer the following questions with نعم or بلا. Okay, to give you an example. أذهبت إلى المدرسة أمس. This is a regular question, right? أذهبت إلى المدرسة أمس. نعم ذهبت. Negative question. أما ذهبت إلى المدرسة أمس؟ بلا ذهبت. Okay, in both cases you want to say yes, I did go. But in one case you have to say نعم, I went. In other case you have to say بلا, I went. That's it. Not much to it. All right? Okay, let's do a couple of exercises that we have here. There are a couple of questions. You can answer them. Okay, who wants the first question? I'll ask the question. You give me the answer, Ya Abdul Karim. Araja'a abuka min as-suqi? Araja'a abuka min as-suqi?
Naam, raja'a. I had some more to it. Abi min as-suqi.
Naam, raja'a abi min as-suqi. Number two. أما رجع أبوك من السوق؟ نعم أبو عثمان.
بلى رجع.
طيب أما رجع أبوك من السوق؟ He said بلى رجع. يعني رجع أبي من السوق. ثلاثة. أذهبت ليلى إلى الجامعة؟ أذهبت ليلى إلى الجامعة؟ نعم. Who else did it? نعم عبد الحق. نعم ذهبت ليلى إلى الجامعة. أربعة. Number four. أما ذهب أخوك إلى الرياض؟ أما ذهب أخوك إلى الرياض؟ نعم صلاح الدين.
بلى ذهب أخي إلى الرياض.
نعم he said أما ذهب أخوك إلى الرياض؟ قال بلى ذهب أخي إلى الرياض. جيد. طيب, any question about this نعم and بلا? It's just a matter of thinking it over carefully until it sticks in your head. Okay, let's look at, that's what was remaining from last week that we didn't finish. So we finish, okay? Now, as far as the new lesson we have for homework, our homework was number one, to complete the exercises that we didn't do in class last week. And after that, we finished it, right? We already did it for homework, and we're just going over it now. Okay, after that, you're supposed to look at the key for lesson number five, the new lesson. You're supposed to read the key, study the vocabulary, and read the dialogue in the beginning of the lesson. Huh? And one other thing you're supposed to do, and I know probably only half of you have done it. And what is that? Only half of you have done it. What's the rest of the homework that I didn't mention yet? You're supposed to listen to the audio files. It doesn't require any work to listen to the audio files. You don't have to write anything. You don't have to read anything. All you have to do is listen. Just turn on and listen while you're washing your clothes by hand, while you're cooking some food, or while you're doing whatever. You're just laying down resting, right? And just turn it on and listen to it. Now,
you can download it right onto your telephone.
Carry it with you, waiting for the bus, waiting for the train. I want to say driving your car, but I'm afraid of saying driving your car, you know. I don't want people to be distracted when they're driving their car. But, I mean, it's up to you as you like. Abu Bakr says, no way. Fine, in any case, what about when you're riding your bicycle? You better not try. That's even worse. It's war on these streets with bicycles, bro. Bicycles are just reckless, and the car and the drivers are mad at them. Yeah. All right. So, okay. Listen to the audio files, please. Try to listen to the audio files. It's a great benefit in it. Okay. Number one, you hear the Arabic language, and number two, it familiarizes you with the lesson. Especially when you don't have time to really read and write at that moment, you're busy doing something else, just listen to it at least. Your brain starts getting attuned to the sounds of the words and the construction of sentences and different themes that's in the lesson. So that when you actually read it, it's not like you're reading it for the first time. It's something that you're already somewhat familiar with because you heard it so many times. Okay, and that's extremely helpful. Yes, Akhi, what can I do for you? No, see, Akhi, over here. Yes. Tayyip, okay. This lesson number 5, I want to really just summarize what this lesson is dealing with, okay? Lesson number 5, you need to know 2 primary things. One of them, what is a fa'il? And what is a maf'ulun bi? You have to know what they are. Okay, we know the fi'il, right? We know what is the fi'il. Okay, listen, we know what is fi'il, right? Yes. Fi'il is what?
It's a what?
A verb. Verb. What is a verb? Like zahaba. Okay, so somebody said action. Like zahaba, right? It's an action. Actually, in Arabic, I think I mentioned last week, and I want you to remember this because it's important. A verb is a word. In Arabic, a verb is a word that indicates action. Some action taking place. He went, he came, he ran, he ate, he hit, he read, he wrote, he jumped. It's action, right? But not only that. Because the masdar, the infinitive, also indicates action. But the masdar is a noun. It's not a verb. But what does a verb have besides it indicates action? It also tells you the time frame in which the action took place. Right? If you say running, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that indicates the actual time. Is it past tense? Is it present tense? Is it future tense? And it also indicates the one who does the action. Okay? Could be he's running, she's running, they're running. Running could be anybody doing it. But the verb in Arabic indicates who did the running. Is it one person who did the running? Or the 2 people who did the running? Or the 3 or more people who did the running? Is it masculine? Is it feminine? All this is indicated by the verb. Tells you everything about it. Who is doing the action? When they're doing the action? In addition to the action that they're doing. Okay, that's what a verb is. Okay, so we know what a verb is. Now we want to know what is the fa'il. What is a fa'il? What is a fa'il? Subject, he said. Fa'il is the subject. Meaning like math, science, what's the subject? Is it math? This is, what's the subject? Arabic? Huh? The one who's doing the action. The subject means the one who is doing the action. The fa'il. The one who's doing the action. This is the fa'il, the action. And the fa'il is the one who does the action. The ism fa'il is a noun that indicates the one who does the action of that verb. Okay? Like for example, if you said, on this wazn fa'il, if you said jalis. Jalis is a person who does the action of, that's indicated in jalasa, sitting. Jalis. Huh? Katib. Katib is the one who does the action of kataba, writing. Huh? Qari is the one who does the action of qara'a, reading. Right? Like a person who reads Quran well, they call it a qari. Okay, like this. Okay? So in this case though, we're not talking about the wazn for the ism fa'il, but rather we're talking about in the sentence, the fi'il and the fa'il. The fi'il is the action, the fa'il is the one who does the action. One of the things that we need to know about the fa'il is that the fa'il is always marfu'un. The fa'il is what? Marfu'un. Means that it takes what? Dhamma. At least that's the basic rule. Okay, for now. Alright? So we need to know that the fa'il is going to be marfu'un. It's going to take a dhamma. It's the one who's doing the action. And the fa'il should have a dhamma to indicate that it is marfu'un. Then there's one more word that can come in a sentence, in a jumla fi'liyah. Besides the fi'l and the fa'il, sometimes in some sentences, there's also the object of the action, the thing or the one whom the action happened to. There's somebody who does the action, and then there's something or someone that the action fell upon, that it occurred to. Alright? And that's called what? That's called the maf'ul. Maf'ul. Maf'ulun bihi. Okay? Maf'ulun bihi. There's different types of maf'ul, okay? And this is the first one that we're seeing, the maf'ulun bihi. There's also maf'ulun fihi. Maf'ulun li'ajli, maf'ulun mutlaq, and all kinds of maf'ul. But we're not concerned about that now. What we're concerned about is this one, maf'ulun bi. That's the one that the action happened to. Okay? Or the thing that the action occurred upon. Like if you said, akala ar-rajulu at-tuffaha. Huh? What does that mean? The man ate the apple. So, akala is the action, right? Eating. Ar-rajulu is the one who did the action, the fa'il, right? And the action of eating, it happened to what? What was eaten? The apple. That's the maf'ulun bi. Okay, that's it, basically. The maf'ulun bi should be... When is this case ending? Should be mansoob. With fatah. Yeah, for now it will be always. But in the future it might not be always. Okay, you know, these are the secondary indications that a noun is marfu'un or mansubun or majrun, yani fatah, kasr and dhamma. But as we go on, we will see that words which are muthanna, dual, or jam', plural, and so on, different types of words, there may be secondary indications that indicate that they're marfu'un or mansubun or majrun. But we're not going to come to them for a long time, so we don't have to worry about that for now. Just be happy that you don't have to worry about that for now. Inshallah. Alright? So this is what we want to look at in this lesson here. We want to see that if we have a verb, that there's also a doer of that action, which is the fa'il. And then sometimes there may be the thing or the person that the action occurred to, that it happened upon. Okay, and that's called the maf'ulun bi. Is there anything else in here? That's the most important thing. Okay, the other stuff is secondary. So we're going to just look at that quickly and see what they say here. We will see that sometimes the doer of the action... Yeah, sometimes they said the doer of the action is a pronoun. A pronoun. And sometimes the doer of the action is actually usually indicated in the verb itself. Okay, we'll see the different forms of the verb that we looked at last week. Last week, before we ended the class, we had a chart on the board, and we looked at the verb forms, and how the indication of the one who's doing the action is indicated in the verb itself. Okay? Except in two forms of the verb. Okay? The third person, masculine, feminine, singular. Like, ذهب and ذهبت. Okay? The pronoun that's the fa'il in that verb is called... Anybody remember the hidden pronoun? Huh? Naam, dhamir mustatir. Okay, it's concealed, it's hidden, it's screened. Huh? So we don't see it, but it's there, it's understood. You say dhahaba, we say the pronoun, the fa'il, is dhamir mustatir. Taqdiruhu huwa. We understand it to be what? Huwa. Dhahaba, huwa. But we don't have to say huwa. If we use huwa, it's just for emphasis, okay? Okay, so let's look at what it says here. It says in the exit, in the key for lesson number 5 on page 16, lesson number 5. In this lesson we learn the following. The fa'il, the subject of a verbal sentence. Al-jumla al-fi'liya. We have already learned that in Arabic there are two types of sentences. The nominal and the verbal. What is the nominal sentence? Al-jumla Al-ismiyya. Begins with a ism, a noun. So it's called nominal. And the verbal is the jumla fi'liyya. Begins with a fi'l. So it's called verbal. The nominal sentence commences with a noun. Yani a jumla ismiyya begins with a ism. And the verbal sentence commences with a verb. Al-jumla fi'liyya begins with a fi'l. That's why it's called jumla fi'liyya, because it begins with a fi'l. The subject of a verbal sentence is called fa'il. Al-fa'il. The subject, meaning the one who does the action, the subject of the verbal sentence, the jumla fi'liyya, the subject is called fa'il. For example, dhahaba bilalun. Dhahaba is the fi'l, bilalun is the fa'il, the doer of the action. Who went? Bilal went. Okay, the fa'il is in the nominative case. What? Marfu'un. Huh? The fa'il is marfu'un. How you know it's the fa'il? Because you see a dhamma there. So you know that's the fa'il. That's not the maf'ulun bi, because it has dhamma. It got to be the fa'il. Alright? The fa'il can be a pronoun also. Like instead of dhahaba bilalun, bilalun is the fa'il, sometimes it won't be an ism zahir. It won't be a noun that you see right there. It could be an obvious noun, but it could be a pronoun. Pronoun taking the place of a noun. Okay, so something was mentioned before. Instead of mentioning it again, you could use a pronoun to refer back to that thing, right? So you say, Bilal went, and then Bilal came back. Bilal went, and then he came back. And then he came back. That's a pronoun, he, right? Naam. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I'm just trying to remind us that the pronoun means it's taking the place of the noun. You said Bilal went, and then Bilal came back. You don't have to repeat Bilal again, right? You can say Bilal went, and then use a pronoun. Then he came back. He. Okay, he is the pronoun. Huwa. Taking the place of the noun that had been previously mentioned. Okay, so the fa'il is in the nominative case, marfu'un. The fa'il can be a pronoun also. For example, dhahabu, they went. The fa'il is the waw. Here. Dhahabu. Here in dhahabu, this waw is the fa'il. It's called what? Waw. Who remembers? I mentioned it last week. Al-Jama'ah. Wow, al-Jama'ah. What do you mean al-Jama'ah? Jama'ah means a group, right? Al-Jama'ah. Like Salat al-Jama'ah? Congregation, right? Group of people. In Arabic, generally plural is three or more. If it's not three, then we call it Muthanna, right? Dual. Okay, so in this case, in this verb, we see that the pronoun here is this wow. Here's the verb dhahaba, and this wow is the pronoun. Okay, it's called wow al-Jama'ah. It indicates the plurality for masculine. Hum dhahabu. This waw represents what? Hum. Masculine, third person, plural. They, naam. Likewise, dhahabta. You went. The fa'il is the ta. In what? Dhahabta. Dhahabta. The fa'il is the ta, which represents anta. Anta dhahabta. Okay, so the fa'il in this case is the ta. And likewise, dhahabna, we went. The fa'il is na. The fa'il is na. Noon, fatta, alif. This noon here is different. We'll see later on. Noon with fatta, without alif. Okay, we'll see that is different. You have to be careful with the elongation or making short the vowels. Note that in dhahaba at-tullabu, the students went. Dhahaba at-tullabu, the students went. The verb dhahaba has no waw at the end. This waw, yeah, that indicates plural. It stayed singular. Note that in dhahaba at-tullabu, the students went, the verb dhahaba has no waw at the end, because dhahabu with waw means they went, plural. And if we say dhahabu at-tullabu, it means they, the students, went. In Arabic, we don't use it like this. We don't say they, the students, went. This is not correct, because there cannot be two fa'ils for a verb. In other words, dhahabu, the waw is the fa'il. Then if you say at-tullab, that's also the fa'il. So we don't need two fa'ils, right? So in Arabic, what you do is you say at-tullabu dhahabu. If you mention tullab first, then you can say it. But you can't say dhahabu at-tullabu. Here tullab is the mubtada of the sentence. At-tullabu dhahabu. At-tullab is the mubtada. Now it became a jumla what? Ismiya. And at-tullabu is the mubtada. And the sentence dhahabu, they went, is the khabar of the jumla ismiya. At-tullabu dhahabu. At-tullabu is the mubtada. Dhahabu is the khabar. Tayyib. I said at-tullabu dhahabu. Here we change the sentence. Instead of saying dhahabu at-tullabu, which is a jumla fi'liya with two fa'ils, you can say it as a jumla ismiya, at-tullabu dhahabu, because now you're saying at-tullabu is the mubtada and dhahabu is the khabar, and the khabar could be a mufrad, a single word. It could be a jumla, which is a jumla ismiya or jumla fi'liya. Or it could be what? A shibba jumla. With a jar or majur or a dharf. So there's all kind of khabars, okay? Here the khabar is a verb, a jumla fa'liya, zahabu. Zahabu. Okay, so that's possible, that the khabar can be a jumla fa'liya. That's the khabar though. As far as the tulabu, that's the mubtada.
Okay,
so we don't have two files. We have a mubtada and we have a khabar.
So you said tulabu zahabu, that would be...
That would be a mubtada and a khabar. Zahabu would be the khabar, yeah. Okay, so in any case, this particular concept that's being presented here, in my mind, I believe that a person might find it a little confusing. Don't be too concerned about understanding the intricacies of it. But what you should really keep in your mind at this point is that there's a way to say something in Arabic, okay? If you want to say, Zahabu, At-tullabu. Okay, you already have a file in dhahabu, and then you have another file. They don't do that in Arabic. Okay, don't do that. So what you have to do is you have to make the verb singular. That's how they do it. Okay, if you're going to make a verbal sentence, you can't begin with a verb form that has a file and then follow it with another file. Okay, so what you should keep in your mind is that in Arabic, if you have a verbal sentence, the fa'il is plural, don't use a plural verb for it. Don't begin with a plural verb. Okay? Even if it's plural or even if it's dual, don't begin with a plural verb. Okay? But if it's a nominal sentence, yani a jumla ismiya, then it's no harm in the mubtada being plural and then the khabar being a verb in the plural form. Because now we're talking about mubtada and khabar. Okay, anyway, let's look at it a little bit further, and then, you know, we'll see, inshallah, if we still have some question. They said, but we say at-tullabu dhahabu. Here, at-tullab is mubtada, and the sentence dhahabu, they went, is khabar. The same applies to third person feminine. Same rule also. For example, dhahabat, that's singular verb, right? Al-banatu. And plural, fa'il. Okay, singular we can use. The girls went. Or we can say, al-banatu, that's a mubtada. And then the khabar is a verb, dhahabna. You have a plural mubtada and you have a plural verb. But now you're talking about mubtada and khabar. As far as if you're using a verbal sentence, then if the fa'il is plural, the verb should be in a singular form. Okay, don't say dhahabna al-banatu. You can say the opposite, al-banatu dhahabna. Because now you're talking about a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya. So you can start in a nominal sense with a mubtada, that's plural, and then end it with a khabar, that's a verb, that's in the plural form. But you can't do the reverse. Okay, learn this rule. In a nominal sentence, you can say, at-tullabu dhahabu. At-talibatu dhahabna, in a nominal sentence. But in a verbal sentence, if you change the order and put the verb first and the noun second, which is the fa'il, then you can't use a plural verb form, rather use a singular verb form. If you reverse it, you will not use the plural verb form. In the feminine, for example, you will not say ذَهَبْنَا الطَّالِبَاتُ, you say the singular form ذَهَبَتِ الطَّالِبَاتُ ذَهَبَتِ الطَّالِبَاتُ. And likewise for masculine, you won't say ذَهَبُ الطُّلَّابُ, but use the singular form, you say ذَهَبَ الطُّلَّابُ. Okay, so really what we're saying here, in a nominal sentence, the مُبْتَدَى can be plural, followed by a plural verbal form. But in a verbal sentence, you can't begin with a verb in the plural form followed by a fa'il in the plural form. They don't allow it in Arabic. That's just their rule. I mean, if it makes a lot of sense or not, really doesn't matter at this point, right? Because they already made the language and they made their rules. And either you accept their rules or you can't join the club. Huh?
Let me ask you a question. In reference to you
said dhaba, dhahaba, and dhahabat. Right? No, both of them are singular. Dhahaba, dhahabat.
Right, okay, now. Is it only, we use those two forms that come first, you understand, in reverse, other words you're saying. For example, like you're saying, we use those two singular in reference to the jamia of the other.
We're talking about plural here.
Right.
We're not talking about singular.
I mean,
we're only talking about plural.
I mean plural.
And saying, the singular form, class, it doesn't apply.
Right. But what was the,
this rule is not applicable to singular. Right. It's applicable to the plural.
So it won't be zahabata, another idea. It won't be just for these two.
We're using a singular form when the fa'il is dual or plural. Here they're just talking about plural, but also it's applicable to dual.
Okay,
we don't want to deal with plural now, dual, because they didn't talk about it yet, okay?
Right.
But what we're saying is that if you have a plural verb form,
right.
Don't begin with it and then follow it with a plural fa'il.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand the two forms, the dhahaba and the dhahabat.
Dhahaba and Dhahabat is meaning that we're using the singular form for plural mubtada. Plural fa'il.
Other forms is not being used that way, so I'm trying to.
Which other forms?
Like the form you're talking about, you or yourself or nothing like that. You know what I mean?
No.
You don't like Dhahabatu.
Dhahabtu, you mean?
Dhahabtu
is singular.
Yeah, so we're not going to use
that. That doesn't apply, because we're talking about plural or dual.
I got you. That's
talking about plural or dual. Okay?
Yeah, dual and
dual. Taib. All right. So, that being said, we will come back to this when we see the exercises. We will see that if you have a nominal sentence, no problem. If you have a mubtada that's plural, and you follow the plural verb form as a khabar, but the other way we won't do it, okay, in a verbal sense. That's what we really need to keep in mind. Okay. Second point, the maf'ulun bi, the object, yani the object of the action, the object that the action happened to. The maf'ulun bi is in the accusative case. It's mansub. The fa'il is marfu'un with dhamma. The maf'ulun bi is mansub with fatha. For example, fataha al-waladu al-baba. Fataha al-waladu al-baba. Fataha is the fa'il. Al-waladu is the fa'il marfu'un. And al-baba is the maf'ulun bi mansub. Okay, the boy opened the door. The action of opening was done by the boy. It was done to the door. That's the object of the action, the object of the verb. Here al-baba is the maf'ulun bi. And so, because it's the maf'ulun bi, it is mansub. Here are some more examples. For example, ra'aytu hamidan. Okay, the fa'il is ra'a. The fa'il is tu, naam. The ta, you know, tu. And the maf'ulun bi is hamid. Tayyib. Sa'alat al-mudiratu Zainaba. Sa'alat is the fa'il. Al-mudiratu is the fa'il. And Zainaba is the maf'ulun bi. And sa'alat, the ta here, is not the fa'il, as in sa'altu, sa'alta, sa'alti, sa'altum, sa'altunna. The ta is the fa'il in those verbs. But here the ta is not the fa'il, rather it is the sign or indication that the verb is feminine. It's called alamatu ta'nif, that it's mu'annath. It's an indication that the verb is in the mu'annath form, ta'nif. Okay? After another example, شرب الرجل الماء. شرب is the fail. الرجل is the fail مرفوع with ضمة. And الماء is the مفعول به منصوب وعلامة نصبه فتى. علامة نصبه, the sign that it is منصوب is فتى. Another example. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. سأل الولد أمه. سأل الولد أمه. سأل is the fail. الولد is the فاعل مرفوع وعلامة رفعه ضمة. The sign that is مرفوع is ضمة, right? And أمه is what? أمة, he said, is the مفعول به. And what's the هو then? Grammatically, is it the fail, the fa'il, the maful and be? Ummahu, his mother. The mother of him. Mudaf ilay. Mudaf ilay. Mudaf ilay. Tayyib? Alright. Note that, you know, the questions that I'm asking, I'm just trying to see if you already read the key before. I'm just trying to test you to see if you already read the key. Note that in the last example, the maf'ulun bi is ummah. And so it takes the fatta ending, the mansoob indication that is mansoob is fatta. And the pronoun hu is not part of the maf'ulun bi, ummahu. But rather, the pronoun is not part of the maf'ulun bi, rather it is mudaf ilayhi, ummahu. Here are some examples of this kind. Ra'aytu baytaka. I saw your house, right? Bayt is the maf'ulun bi, mansoob. The sign that is mansoob is fatta, bayta. And the kaf is mudaf ilayhi. The house of you, your house. Baytu anta, baytuka. Fatahat talibu kitabahu. The student opened his book. Fataha is the fail. Talibu is the fail. Marfoon. The sign that is marfoon is dhamma. And baita. What am I doing? Kitab. Kitaba is the maf'ulun bi. The sign that is maf'ulun bi. I mean, it's mansub. The sign that is mansub is fatta. And who is mudafun ilay? Okay, the maf'ulun bi can be a pronoun. The maf'ulun bi can also be a pronoun. Now in these examples, ra'aytu baytaka and fata talibu kitabahu, the pronoun here is not the maf'ulun bi, right? It's mudaf ilay. But in fact, even the maf'ulun bi can be a pronoun. Okay, the maf'ulun can be a pronoun. For example, ra'aytu bilalan wa sa'altuhu. Ra'aytu bilalan. Ra'a is the fa'il. Tu is the fa'il. And Bilal is the maf'ulun bi, it's mansoob, walamutu nasbihi, fatta. Wa sa'altuhu, sa'ala is the fa'il, sa'ala is the fa'il, tu is the fa'il, and hu is the maf'ulun bi. Sa'ala is the fa'il, tu is the fa'il, and hu is the maf'ulun bi. Look, sa'ala is the action, right? سألتُ. The fa'il is who? Anna. I asked who? Who is the question asked to? Him. So the maf'ulun bi, the object of the question is him. Huwa. So the pronoun who is the maf'ulun bi. Sa'ala, asking, is the fa'il. Tu is the fa'il, the one who did the asking. And the object of the question was who? Clear? Who? Sa'altu who? In this case, I'm saying from myself now, not in the book. In this case, the pronoun is the maf'ulun bi, but we don't see any sign of it being mansub. We don't change it to fatta, right? Because pronouns are mabniyun. We don't change the ending. We don't change who, because it's coming after a preposition, we don't change it to kasra. Unless the preposition has a kasra, and for the purpose of pronunciation, then we change who to he, and whom to him. not because it's majroor, but rather for pronunciation. Okay? Like you say, alayhimus salam. Al-Anbiya, right? Alayhimus salam. Alayhim. It's originally alahum, right? Because of the ya alayhi, you change alayhum to alayhim, right? Or alayhis salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alayhis salam, right? We don't say alay alahu. We say alayhi for pronunciation. Not because it's the object of the preposition and it's majroor and the sign that it's majroor is kasra. That's for pronunciation, okay? So the pronouns are mabniun, they don't really change because of their grammatical position in the sentence. They remain the same. Okay? So the pronoun here, we say that it is fi mahalli jar. Fi mahalli jar. I'm sorry, here in this case, sa'altuhu fi mahalli nasb. It's in the place where it should be mansoob. Huh? But it's mabniyun. It's in the place where it should be mansoob, because it's the object of the verb, right? It's the maf'ulun bi, and the maf'ulun bi is mansoob, right? But we don't say it's mansoob, we say fi mahalli nasb. It's in the place where it should be mansoob, but it's mabniyun. It's mabniyun. Mabniyun means it's fixed. It doesn't change because it's the object of the preposition, the object of the verb, the subject of the sentence. It doesn't change. No.
My question is, okay, this is from myself, is that the two here, two who, we know that, the, like you said, generally the two becomes mansu in general cases. But now, this two is related like to Bilal, right?
No, two is not related to Bilal. Are you talking about in the first part of the sentence? Ra'aytu Bilalan?
No, the beginning.
Sa'altu?
Yes.
Wa sa'altu?
Yes.
No, sa'altu, the meaning of the sentence, Ra'aytu Bilalan, I saw Bilal. I'm not Bilal, I saw Bilal. And I sa'altu.
That's what I mean. The one I saw Bilal, relating back to him. The two, right?
No, two is meaning, is relating back to me. I saw Bilal and I asked him.
That's what I mean, that's what I'm saying now.
Okay, it's relating back to me. The one who saw him,
right.
The same person asked him.
And the who is, like you said, is the
who is relating back to Bilal.
Right.
Naam. Yeah. The who is the pronoun relating back to Bilal.
Right.
I saw him,
right.
And I asked him.
Right.
So that, the who.
So that becomes, like you said, the
maf'ulun bi. In the first part of the sentence, the maf'ulun bi is Bilal.
Right.
And the second part of the sentence, the maf'ulun bi is who. That refers back to Bilal. Alright? Okay, that being said, the next point, right, which is of no great significance in my mind, but in any case we'll just read it quickly. The noon of the tanween is followed by a kasra if the next word commences with hamzatul wasl. When a word begins with hamzatul wasl, right, you have to join what's before to what's after, right? Hamzatul wasl means that the word begins with sukoon. And the tanween, in order for you to pronounce it, you have to add a vowel to it because it's sukoon and sukoon. Okay, you have kasra noon with sukoon. And then you have alif lam, that's also sukoon. You can't have two sukoons in Arabic, so you have to vowelize the noon of the tanween. You have to put a vowel on it, right? Instead of A-N-I-N sukoon or U-N sukoon, you have to put a vowel on it. So you're going to put a kasra on it to connect it to the hamza til wasl. Okay, so what they're saying is the noon of tanween is followed by a kasra. The noon of tanween, put a kasra on it in order to pronounce it if the next word following it begins with hamzatul wasl. Could be alif lam, could be ibn ism, or any other word that begins with hamzatul wasl. Okay, so you have shariba hamidun al-ma'a. You don't say hamidun al-ma'a. You say Hamidunil. Hamidun, right? D-U-N, put a kasra on it. Dunil. Hamidunil. Okay? Shariba Hamidunil ma'a. Okay, it's just for pronunciation. Okay, it's a little bit yani heavy on the tongue to pronounce it. But you have to add a vowel to that tanween, kasra, in order to pronounce it. Alright, let the brother through. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Here, if the kasra is not added, it is difficult to pronounce the letter combination of noon and lam back to back with two sukoons. This is called iltiqa al-sakinain. Iltiqa al-sakinain. Combination of two vowelless letters. Meaning iltiqa is from laqiya, to meet. Okay, iltiqa is the meeting of sakinain, two sakin letters. A letter that has sukun is called sakin, right? So you have noon sakin and you have lam sakin. That's sakinain, two sakin letters. And when they meet together, they don't accept this in Arabic, okay? So the combination of two vowelless letters. Whenever such a combination occurs, it is removed by inserting a kasra between them. Here are some more examples. By the way, iltiqa sakinain is not always removed by kasra. Sometimes the second letter, there's rules for it. You can't do what you want to do. There's rules for it. Sometimes the second letter takes a kasra, as in this case here with tanween, but sometimes the second letter may take fatha. Like for example, in the preposition min. Min al, you add fatha to it, min al. Men, who? With sukun men, you say menil. Okay, maybe a verb, for some of the verbs, you add dhamma to it. So sometimes the vowel that's added could be a dhamma, sometimes it could be a fatha, sometimes it could be a kasra. Just keep that in mind. When we come across the rules concerning, then you'll see that the vowel is not always kasra. Here are more examples. Sa'ala bilalun ibnahu. Bilalun, you say what? Bilalun ibnah. Sa'ala bilalun ibnahu. Bilalun ib. With kasra, huh? Also, samia faysalun al-adhana. Okay, faysalunil. Faysalunil adhana. Samia faysalunil adhana. Okay, so this is really just for reading. You have a tanween followed by hamzatul wasl. In this case, if it's tanween, add a kasra to it. Okay, finally, we have learned earlier that most Arabic verbs have only three letters, triliteral, which are called radicals. Most Arabic verbs are triliteral. They have three radicals. The first letter is called, the first letter of this triliteral verb, the first letter is called the first radical. It's represented by fa. The second letter is called the second radical, it's represented by ayn. And the third letter is called the third radical, it's represented by lam. And what do we mean by this? We mean that the wazn is normally in Arabic, use these three letters. Fa'ala. So the first letter in the wazn is called the fa of the letter. The fa. The second radical is called the ayn of the letter. And the third one is called the lam. The fa of the letter is the first radical. The ayn is the second radical. And the lam is the third radical of the wazn, fa'ala. Okay, so we have a wazn here, maf'ul, right? So this is the fa, this is the ayn, and this is the lam of that wazn. So when you take a root, and you have the fa, the ayn, and the lam, the three triliteral root of the word, you have to add this, for example, and you have to add this to make this wazn of maf'ul. Okay, so the maf'ul wazn indicates the thing that an action happened to. So if you're talking about the thing that was drank, huh? The milk, he drank it. That wazn for the milk that was drank, it would be called, something that was drank would be called from shariba, on this wazn, shariba, sheen, ra, and ba, right? Sheen is the fa, shariba, right? Shariba. Sheen is the fa. The ayn is ra. And the lam is ba. So what we do, we add this meme here, we add waw here, and you get mashroob. Okay, the one who was hit, daraba, daraba, you say madroob. Kataba, maktoob. Like this. That's the wazn for maf'ool. In any case, we'll come to that in more detail, but just so you have an idea what they're talking about. We're talking about radicals. We're talking about the wazns, the patterns for words in Arabic. They usually use these three letters, fa, ayn, and lam. And then whatever has to be added to it to make the wazn, you just add those pieces, whatever is necessary to complete it, right? So we're talking about fa'ala. Notice that the madi, the first, that in the madi of the verb, of the triliteral or three radical verb, notice that in the madi, the first and third radicals have fatta. Huh? Kataba, baraba, dakhala, kharaja, shariba, nazala, whatever, right? The first and the third one always have fatta. As far as the second one, it could be a fatta, could be a kasra, could be a dhamma. Pay attention. In the madi, the second radical, the ayn of the verb, it can take a fatta, or it can take a kasra, or it can take a dhamma. But as far as the first and the second and the third, it's always going to be fatta, right? The second radical may have fatta or kasra, or we're adding, it can also have dhamma, like karuma. Okay, zahaba, dakhala, kharaja, and all of these, the second radical has fatta. But look at the next set, shariba, hafiza, fahima. The second radical, the ayn of the letter, of the root, I mean, the ayn of it, all of them have kasra. So really, we're just dealing with two types right now. We're dealing with verbs in the past tense that the second radical, the ayn, has fatta, and we're dealing with those where the second radical has kasra. But we will see later on that the second radical can also have dhamma. All right, so this is what we're looking at right now, okay? Okay, I'm not going to go over the vocabulary, but I hope that you have gone over it. There's some verbs and nouns and other stuff here. If anybody has any question about them, inshallah, you can ask. Okay, what we want to do is read the text of the lesson and discuss the grammatical points in it. And then, inshallah, for homework, you can start doing the exercises. Oops. Now. Okay, okay. Give my salam to the brothers, especially Muhammad, huh? Inshallah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Alright. Ad-darsu al-khamisu. Ad-darsu al-khamisu. Alaykum salam. No. Okay, ad-darsu al-khamisu, the fifth lesson. We want to look at the grammatical points, right, in this lesson. We want to especially pay attention to what? The fi'l, fa'al, and maf'ulun bih. That's the most important thing that we want to look at here. Huh? The Arabic, yes. Arabic, the dialogue in the beginning of lesson 5. Naam. Ad-darsu al-khamisu, on page 30. All right? المدرس من فتح باب الفصل من فتح باب الفصل طيب what's the meaning of this sentence
who opened the classroom door
the door of the classroom okay why is باب منصوب وفتح because it's what مفعول به it's the مفعول به where's the فعل in this sentence Fataha, where's the fa'il, the doer of the action, the subject? Fasl, he said. What is fasl in this sentence? Hold it, let's go to fasl. Slow down, it's okay. Fasl, what is fasl in this sentence? What is it? Huh? It's what? Mudaf ilay. Okay, this is idafa construction. Bab al-fasli. Mudaf ilay. Al-fasli is kasra, it's majroor because mudaf ilay. Okay, so where's the fa'il in this sentence? Do we see a ta, tu, ti, tum, something? Bab? Bab is the maf'ulun bih. Where's the fa'il? The fa'il is the hidden pronoun. Remember in fataha and fatahat. The singular, third person, masculine and singular. Masculine and feminine. Okay, the singular, third person, he and she. Huwa fataha, hiya fatahat. The pronoun that is hidden in these two verbs is the fa'il. Dhamir mustatir. Tattiruhu huwa. Fataha huwa. Who did the action? Huwa. Okay, so the fa'il is the dhamir that's hidden. We understand it to be what? Huwa. طيب من فتح باب الفصل انا فتحته انا what is the position of انا in this sentence اعراب the grammatical position of it انا is it the فعل or the فاعل or the مفعول به or something else other than that. It's something else. What is it? Yes. Mubtada. It's a jumla ismiya. Begins with an ism. Ana. Ana fatahtuhu. Ana is the mubtada. Where's the khabar?
Fata?
Who?
No,
I
opened the door for him.
Okay, listen. Ana fatah tu hu. First, what does that mean?
I opened it.
It referring to what?
The door.
I opened it. Okay? Ana is the mubtada. Right? Where's the khabar? To? Who? Anybody say he? Ha? They? Help us, somebody. The mubtada is ana. The khabar is the whole sentence. Fatahtuhu. Remember I said the khabar? It could be a single word, mufrad. It could be a sentence. A jumla ismiya, a jumla fi'aliya. It could be a shibh jumla. With a ja' wal majrur or a dharf. Okay, so the khabar here is a complete sentence. It's a jumla fi'aliya. That's a whole sentence. Fatahtuhu. I opened it. That's a sentence. That's the khabar here. This whole sentence, fatahtuhu. And this sentence includes a fi'l, fataha. It includes a fa'il, which is what? And it includes a maf'ul and bi. I told you what the fa'il is. Fataha. Where's the fa'il?
Who?
Who is the fa'il?
Two.
Ana. Ana fatahtu. And the maf'ul and bi is what? What did I open?
Who?
The door. Okay, come on. We have to start thinking, all right? Yalla. Bismillah. وَمَنْ فَتَحَ النَّوَافِذَ وَمَنْ فَتَحَ النَّوَافِذَ. Okay, what's the meaning of this sentence? And who opened?
The windows.
What's the singular of نوافذ? Huh? نافذة. طيب. من فتح النوافذة. طيب. نوافذة, what is this position grammatically? إعراب. What is نوافذة in this sentence? Is it the fa'il or the fa'il or the maf'ul and bi? It's the maf'ul and bi. Maf'ul and bi. Naam. Where's the fa'il? Fataha. Where's the fa'il? What's the fa'il of fataha? Damir mustatir. Which is understood to be what? Takbiruhu?
Huwa
fataha. Huwa fataha. Ali says, أنا فتحته. ومن فتح النوافذة? I'm sorry. وأنا فتحتها. أنا فتحتها. Okay, أنا is what in the sentence? مبتدا. Where's the خبر? فتحته. شبه جملة? The whole جملة فعلية. فتحتها. The whole جملة فعلية. Okay, so جملة فعلية. There's a فعل. There's a fa'il and there's a maf'ul and b. Where's the fa'il? Fataha. Where's the fa'il?
Two.
Where's the maf'ul and b? We got it now. Alhamdulillah. Al-Mudarris. Man kasara hadha al-mattaba. Man kasara hadha al-mattaba. A'anta kasartahu ya hashimu? Man kasara hadha al-mattaba. Tayyib. Where's the fail? Where's the fail?
Kasara.
What's the fail of kasara? Damir mustatir. Which is understood to be? Huwa. Man kasara? Hadha al mattaba. Type, where's the maful and
be?
Don't jump out there. Al mattaba? لا لا كلا كلا نوب من كسر هذا المكتبة. You know why you think it's the مفعول به? Because it has فتح, right?
No.
It's منسوب, right?
No.
And the مفعول به is منسوب, right?
No.
But is it منسوب for some other reason? Instead of being the مفعول به? Can it be mansoob because it's something else? Ya Salahuddin? Ya Abu Abdul Rahman? Help us, somebody?
The bedal.
Anybody ever heard of bedal?
Yeah.
Naam, bedal. It's some ishara. It's followed by a noun or alif lam. That's badal, badal, badal. Al-maktaba is badal for hadha. Hadha is the maf'ulun bi. Hadha is the maf'ulun bi. Al-maktaba is badal. It's mansub, why? Because it's badal. The badal takes the same rule as the thing that it's badal for, right? طيب أأنت كسرته يا هاشم طيب next sentence لا إني ما كسرته what does that mean no I did not break it طيب الرجع زكريا وحمزة وعثمان من مكة نعم where's the فعل where's the فاعل رجع is the fa'il زكريا زكريا وحمزة وعثمان and where's the مفعول به where's the مفعول به مكة right for real why is مكة منصوب is the مفعول به منصوب وعلامة نصبه فتة مكة It's mafulun bi, it's makkata. Huh? The sign that it's mafulun bi is that it's fatta, right? Naam? After min? Min makkata? What about min? What happened to min? Makkata is majroor. Because of min. Min makkati. Is it mamnoon min as-sarf? Can't take kasra. Makkah. Wake up again, huh? Let's wake up one more time. Min makkata. Makkata is not a maf'ulun bi. Makkata is majroor because of harf jar min. But it doesn't take kasra. The sign that it's majroor is fatta because mamnoo min as-sarf. Mamnoo min as-sarf. Remember that from lesson 13 or 16, book 1, 6 months ago? Huh? You remember now, right? As long as you remember now, it's good. If you don't even remember it now, then let me say it again. Min is harf jar. And Mecca is ism majroor. The sign that it's majroor is fatta. Because it's mamnoo min as-sarf. Where is it mamnoo min as-sarf? If they're majroor, they don't take kasra. They take fatta. Okay? Jayyid. أرجع زكريا وحمزة وعثمان من مكة لا ما رجعوا there's no مفعول بي rather it's جاء والمجرور every sentence doesn't have a مفعول بي okay it's in the place the this يعني شبه جمل is in the place of the مفعول بي but we say it's جاء والمجرور in the place where it should be the maf'ulun bi. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. La ma raja'u. Alaykum as-salam. No, they what? Did not return. Ya ustazun. Good? Ya ustazu. Why ya ustazu? Ya nida. يا أستاذ خرج الطلاب الجدد وذهبوا إلى المدير خرج الطلاب الجدد وذهبوا إلى المدير طيب الجدد what's the إعراب of جدد grammatical position in this sentence الجدد is it a فاعل it's مرفوع والضمة الجدد is it a فاعل it's مضاف إليه مضاف إليه takes كسرة it's مجرور not and man'ud. At-tullabu al-jududu. Kharaja at-tullabu. Notice tullab, the fa'il is plural. Yeah. And kharaja, the fa'il is singular. Huh? No. We don't say kharaju at-tullabu. Huh? We say, we use the singular, kharaja. Unless we change the order, we could say at-tullabu خرجوا because that would be a مبتدأ and خبر right that's what we were talking about when we were reading the notes خرج الطلاب if the فاعل is plural we don't use a plural verb form before it alright وذهبوا now look خرج الطلاب والجدد وذهبوا خرج is singular ذهبوا is plural and both of them is referring to the طلاب right Naam. Because in the first case, the verb came first. And in the second case, the verb came after the mention of the plural fa'il. Okay?
No.
Pay attention. If the verb comes first, use the singular form. If the verb comes after the plural fa'il, use the plural form. طيب أفهمت الدرس يا طلحة أفهمت الدرس يا طلحة طيب where's the fa'il in this sentence فهم فهم نعم where's the fa'il تا أنت أفهمت أنت الدرس يا طلحة نعم and الدرس is what in this sentence مفعول به منصوب and the sign that is منصوب is فتى نعم فهمته جيدا نعم فهمته جيدا Where's the fail? The fail. What's the fail?
Two.
And what's the مفعول به? جيدا right? جيدا؟ لا
The
مفعول به is the ضمير هو فهمته فهم is the fail, the action, understanding The doer of the action is Anna. Fahamtu, Anna. And what did I understand?
Who?
The action of understanding occurred to what? Who? It. Referring to what? It. The dars, the lesson. طيب كتبت الأجوبة يا فيصل. نعم, where's the fail? كتب. And the fail? تا أنت يا فيصل نعم لا ما كتبتها فعل كتب فاعل تو مفعول بي ها لماذا why didn't you write the lesson somebody tell me why didn't write the lesson because you didn't understand the lesson because you didn't understand it that's why you didn't write it do you have to understand something in order to write it
The question.
He didn't understand the examples?
The questions.
Okay, did you write the answers, Ya Faisalu? La, I didn't write them. Why? Because I didn't understand what?
The questions.
Now, okay, that's a problem. To write the answers without understanding the questions, right? So this teaches us something. That the first part of getting the answer right, understanding the question. That's why I keep saying the instructions for the exercises, you have to understand them. How can you answer the question? You don't know what they're asking. When you read the exercise, you have to know what they're asking. If you don't know what they're asking, how are you going to answer the question? This is why it's critical to study the instructions for each exercise. You must know the meanings of the words. Now for us, if we don't know the meaning of the words, what do? We take the lazy way. We go to the back of the book and look in English and see what they say and you have to do, right? But at some point, we're going to throw this English part away. We're going to tear the back of the book out and put it in the incinerator. We're going to send it up to the brothers in Clinton so they can use it for firewood to cook their food. Huh? So please, learn the meaning of these words. لِأَنَّنِي مَا فَهَمْتُ الْأَسْئِلَةَ طيب where's the مفعول به in this sentence لأنني ما فهمت الأسئلة ها مفعول به where's the مفعول به is it فاهمة
no.
or لأنني مفعول به Or is it fahamtu?
No.
Okay, it's only one word left. Al-as'ilata. Al-as'ilata. What is it that he didn't understand?
The questions.
Al-as'ilata. Okay, Al-Mudarris says, and we're ending this lesson here, أَحَفِظْتَ سُورَةَ الْفَجْرِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ أَحَفِظْتَ سُورَةَ الْفَجْرِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ Al-Fajr, in this sentence, what is its I'rab? The word Al-Fajr. Mudaf ilay. Mudaf ilay. Surat Al-Fajri. And what is Surah in this sentence? Maf'ulun bi. Jayyid. And the fa'il is what? The fa'il. Al-fa'il. The fa'il is what? Hafiza? Oh, ta. Oh, you said ta? Ta. Taib. Somebody said hafiza. Ta, anta, naam. Naam, hafiztuha. Wa hafiztu surat al-tini aydan. Aydan means what?
Also.
Naam, hafiztuha. Ha refers back to what? Surah. Surat al-fajr. Wa hafiztu surat al-tini aydan. Taib. Alright, so this is the lesson. How much time before the adhan? Okay, good. Okay, let's do the first exercise comprehension. Let's do the first exercise comprehension. Aina dhahabat tullabu al-jududu? Aina dhahabat tullabu al-jududu?
Dhahabu ila al-mudir.
Dhahaba ila al- or you said dhahabu?
I said dhahabu.
Jayid. Dhahabu ila al-mudiri. Tayyib. Afahima talhatu al-darsa? أفهم طلحة الدرس؟
لا.
لا. ها؟ فاهم؟
لا.
نعم فاهم. He said لا ما فاهم.
نعم.
He said he understood it. نعم. فهمته جيدة. جدا وجيدة. What's the difference between جدا and جيدة؟
جدا.
جدا is
strong.
Very. نعم. Very good.
جدا is like okay.
جيدة is what?
Well,
naam, jayyid. Tayyib, ayya surah, ayya suratin hafidha Ibrahimu? Ayya suratin hafidha Ibrahimu? Surat al-Fajr or Surat al-Fajr? Tayyib, why did I say ayya suratin? Why is suratin majhoor? Because it's an idafa with a, right? And why did I say ayya instead of ayyi? Why did I not say ayyi or ayyu? Huh? Mafoolun bi? Ayya is mafoolun bi? MashaAllah. You sure about it? Who agrees with him? First, who agrees with him? Quickly. Don't be afraid. Disagree with him if you like. Abu Abdurrahman agrees with him. You're not alone. You have Abdurrahman with you. Abu Abdurrahman with you. Why is it ayya? He said it's mafoolun bi. Maf'ulun bi of what? Where's the fa'il? I don't see any fa'il before. Huh? Don't be afraid. Give it to us. No, you tell me. Why is it? Oh, you don't have it in front of you?
No, I was
looking for it. Okay, I'll read it again. Ayya suratin hafidha Ibrahimu. Ayya and suratin is mudaf mudaf ilay. The object of hafiza is ayya. Hafiza ayya, because it's a question word, and in the question word, it should be, when in the answer you will see what is replaced by that question word. That's what it takes its place. Okay. For example, you say ayya suratin, hafiza surata kaza. But here in this construction, here in the question, you have ayya suratin. So ayya has to come first because it has sabara. The question word always comes first. But it's mudaf, mudaf related to surah. So really ayya is really the maf'ulun bi in this sentence here. Ayya is the maf'ulun bi and surah is mudaf ilayhi. Ayya is the maf'ulun bi and surah is mudaf ilayhi. Like you would say, if it wasn't for the fact that the question word has to come first, you would say, hafidha, ayya suratin. Hafidha ayya suratin. He memorized which surah. But in Arabic, the question word ay, men, ma, has to come first. They could say it has sabara, laha, or lahu as sabara. Meaning it has to come first. You have to begin with the question word. Okay, you say ayna dhahaba, men hadha, ma hadha, ayyu suratin. So the question word has to come first. So in this case, the question word ayya is the maf'ulun bi of hafidha. Hafidha ayya suratin. Yani Ibrahim, hafidha ayya suratin. In Arabic is more proper, is correct only to say ayya suratin hafidha. طيب من فتح النوافذة؟ من فتح النوافذة؟ من فتح النوافذة؟
أنا.
أنا. Who's أنا؟
علي.
أنا فتحتها. Who's talking? Ali. Ali فتح النوافذة. طيب this is also a comprehension question. ضع هذه العلامة صح أمام الجملة الصحيحة وهذه العلامة خطأ أمام الجملة غير الصحيحة. طيب put this check in front of the sentences that are correct and X in front of the sentences that are not correct. فتح علي الفصل وعلي الفصل. Is that صح or خطأ؟
خطأ.
It's صحيح or خطأ؟
خطأ.
Some people saying صح, some people saying خطأ. فتح علي الفصل؟
لا.
Who opened the classroom?
حامد.
أنا فتحت باب الفصل. طيب ما رجع زكريا وحمزة وعثمان من مكة؟ ما رجع؟ Did they رجع أو ما رجع؟ رجع؟ إذا رجع هذا said لا ما رجعوا. طيب ما رجع؟ So that's صحيح وخطأ. الصحيح because they didn't return, right? ما كتب فيصل والأجوبة لأنه ما فهم الأسئلة. صحيح أو خطأ؟
صحيح.
ما فهم الأسئلة. ما كتب فيصل والأجوبة لأن قلمه مكسور. He didn't write the answers because his pen was broken, right? How could he write the answers with a broken pen? Huh? Oh, that wasn't what it said in the lesson, right? So that's خطأ. خطأ then. Possible that he could have written even with a broken pen. The upper part was broken, the bottom part was still there. You need to go buy a new pen, right? Or sharpener, pencil sharpener. Number three. تأمل الأمثلة الآتية. Okay, consider, reflect, contemplate on the following examples. This is very simple, we went over it already. القرآن, right? القرآن والضم مرفوع. قرأ الطالب القرآن. Right?
No.
So what are we saying? قرأ الطالب is the فاعل مرفوع. Right? ولامته رفع ضمة. القرآن is what? مفعول به. منصوب وفتة. Right? Go across. القهوة شرب الضيف القهوة. شرب is the فعل. الضيف is the فاعل and القهوة is the what? مفعول به. The sign that is منصوب is فتة. الدرس كتب المدرس الدرس. Okay, كتب is the فعل, المدرس is the فاعل مرفوع. It's مرفوع. The sign that is مرفوع is ضمة. الدرس is what? مفعول به منصوب. The sign that is منصوب is فتة. الباب فتحت آمنة الباب. فتحت آمنة الباب. فتحت is the فعل, آمنة is the فاعل. مرفوع, the sign that is مرفوع is what? ضمة. الباب is the what? مفعول به منصوب. مفعول به منصوب. The sign that is منصوب is فتى. So what they're saying here, in these examples they're showing us, the fi'l, الفعل, الفاعل, and المفعول به. قرأ الطالب القرآن. This is showing the structure of a sentence. The fi'l, followed by the fa'il, and in some cases, there may or may not be a مفعول به. Not every verb has a مفعول به. Some verbs are لازم, meaning the action remains within itself, it doesn't go out and extend to others. And some are متأدي, that means they extend out. They go past the doer and affects or acts upon or occurs upon something else. So here we have a complete جملة فعلية with all of its possible parts, the فعل, the فاعل, and the مفعول به. Sometimes there may only be a فعل and a فاعل. Don't always expect that there's always going to be a maf'ul bi. Okay, so inshallah for homework, we should write out whatever we have done in these exercises and start doing the next exercises. Okay, 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. That's enough for 6 days, right? And 10 and 11. If you have 11 days, no, we only have how many exercises? We only have 11 minus 3, that's only 8, right? So if you do one exercise every day, you can finish almost to the end of this lesson by next week. If you do one exercise every day. Now listen to that, right? What excuse could you have? You can't do one exercise every day. What would stop you from doing one exercise every day? What would stop you, huh? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.